let's continue our study. Actually, we're going to bring this to a conclusion tonight, dealing with the subject of stewardship. And I'd like to end by showing you, if we can, how to have a proper perspective when it comes to this thing of stewardship. How to have a proper perspective. Several years ago, I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to go and to see it, but the Moscow Circus came to Singapore. And I remember our kids were kind of young at that time, and so Ginger and I, we got some tickets and we went to the indoor stadium there, and we went to see the Moscow Circus, and it was a great time. It was very interesting, all the different acts that they had. But I remember there was this one act in particular where there was a lady who was she was doing tricks on horseback. And one of the tricks that she did, one of the things that she did was she was actually riding two horses going around the ring, and she was riding both of them at the same time. Now that's a trick. She was riding both of them at the same time. She was standing on their backs, and she had a foot on one horse, it was a black horse, and had her other foot on the white horse. That's so you could tell them apart, okay? And she's balanced on these two horses, and they're running around the ring, and she's standing on their back as they're galloping around that ring. And I started thinking about that, and you know, really, it's a very simple trick that she was doing, since both of the horses were going in the same direction, and they're traveling at the same speed, okay? So it's really not that big of a deal when you stop and think about it. But it would be impossible if one of those horses suddenly decided, I'm going the other way. Okay? I'm going to go the other direction. Or if one of them suddenly decided, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going to stop. Or just go a little bit slower and take it easy. It would have been a totally impossible thing to do. You see, if one of those horses had have done any of those things, then that lady would have had to make a quick decision. She would have had to make a very quick decision. She would have to decide, I'm either going to ride the black one or I'm going to ride the white one, but I can't ride both. I can't ride both. The reason I tell you that is because that's the very decision you and I have to make every day in our life. That's the same decision. What are you going to ride? Turn in our Bibles, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus put it in some very clear terms, very precise terms, when he said this. He said, no man, that means me, that means you, that means everybody, no man can serve two masters. You got to decide which horse you're going to ride. No man can serve two masters. Now here's why. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he gives just a very simple statement to tie all of this together. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, as you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about stewardship, and you remember the foundational principle that we learned is that ultimately everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. It's been entrusted to us. God allows us to use that which belongs to Him. It's entrusted to us for two reasons. For two reasons and for one great purpose. Now to see what those two reasons and what that great purpose is, let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Here's what Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That simply means those who are rich, those who have a lot of this world's goods, don't become proud. That's what it means. Don't become proud. Because everything you have is a gift from God, and since it's a gift from God, really we have nothing to be proud of, right? We have nothing to be proud of. It's all a gift from God. What we have because of God's grace. You say, no, wait a minute, Pastor. I work hard for what I have. Yes, you do work hard. But who gave you the strength to work hard? Who gave you the wisdom to be able to do the job that you do? Who empowered you and enables you to do the things you do to make the money that you make? Ultimately, bottom line, it all comes back to God, doesn't it? And so don't be proud. That's number one. Those who are rich in the things of this world, they are not to be high-minded. There's another thing. They are not to trust in uncertain riches. And you've heard the old saying, easy come, easy gone. All right? Yeah, I remember, I've told you this before, I remember years ago when we first came to Singapore, I thought it was so appropriate that the all of the money here had birds on it. You remember that? Some of you young guys, you don't remember that. All you remember is that guy that's on there now. But used to be it was really pretty money, and they had the birds on there, and it was all different colors and everything. And I thought that was so appropriate because no matter how much Singapore money I put in my pocket, it always seemed to just fly away. Yeah, just fly. It was gone, you know. It was gone, and that's what he said. It's uncertain riches, so don't trust in it. Don't let that be your confidence. Okay, so don't be proud. Don't trust in uncertain riches. But here's where we need to put our trust: in the living God, who giveth us richly all things. Now, why does He give it to us? To enjoy. Did you know there are some people who actually teach that it's a sinful thing for you to have material things? They teach it's a sinful thing for you to have money. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says everything God gives to us, He gives it to us for the purpose of enjoying that. He gives it to us that we might enjoy it. But I want you to notice now there's two reasons that they may do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So here in this passage, we find two reasons for God's gifts. Number one, so we can enjoy it. So we can enjoy it. And number two, so we can use it to minister to others. Okay? So God gives us what we have so we can enjoy His blessings, and so that we can use those blessings then to be a help and a blessing to others. And of course, the one purpose for God's gift is that He might be glorified in the way we use what He has entrusted to us. He's glorified as we give Him thanks. And as we praise Him for His goodness and His blessings and His provisions to us. He's glorified as we invest what He has given to us, and then we turn around and we invest that back into His work, either through giving to our local church or giving to our missionaries so that they can carry the gospel into all the world. And so that's how God is glorified. As we thank Him for His blessings and as we use His blessings to spread His gospel. And so good stewardship, bottom line, good stewardship is simply realizing that we are responsible to use the things God has given to us in a way that will truly honor and glorify Him. Now, last time we noticed that every ministry, you remember we saw this a couple of weeks ago when we were over at Victory Baptist Church, and we saw how that every ministry demands finances to operate, and we talked about the stewardship of our money. And every ministry demands finances to operate. It takes money to run the church, takes money to send out the missionaries. And so we saw some very solid principles of financial stewardship to guide us in how we use the money that God has entrusted to us. Let me just review very quickly. We saw number one, we saw the basics of giving. The basics of giving. And there were three things that we mentioned in our outline. First of all, we saw when it comes to the basics of giving, there is God's Word. That's our instruction. That's our instruction. There is God's grace. That is our enabling. And there is also God's love. That's our motivation. Those are the basics. Those are the basics of giving. And then we saw the background for giving, and we saw how that in the Bible we find that there are tithes and then there are offerings. And so those are that's the background. And then we saw the practice of giving. And we saw how that when we give, we are, in fact, we are worshiping God and we are investing in the work of God. Well, now that brings us to the decision that we mentioned a few moments ago. That brings us to the decision we mentioned a few moments ago. Since the material things of this world are things that God has given to us, and yet the worldly thinking about money, the normal human thinking about money, and God's thinking about money are basically two horses that are going in different directions. Okay? It's basically two horses going in different directions. And that's why we have to decide which one we're going to ride. And that's why Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice which one you're going to go with. And so in order to make the right choice in this matter, in order to make the right choice, we need to have a right perspective. We need to have a right perspective about this business of stewardship. And in order to do that, two things that we need to have, and it's these two things that I want us to notice together very quickly. Number one, there has to be a scriptural focus. There has to be a scriptural focus. In His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus gave a great truth that will help us in learning how to manage God's resources. And if we're going to be the stewards God wants us to be, then we need to have a proper value system in place. We need to have a proper value system in place. And the reason for this is simply because the decisions that you make in your life and the decisions I make in my life, the decisions that we make are always going to be determined by our value system. What we believe to be most important, that's going to determine what we do. That's going to determine how we live, how we invest our time, how we invest our talents, how we invest our treasures. The way we do those things is going to be determined by what we believe to be most valuable. Most valuable. Now, a couple of points I want us to notice here. When it comes to having a scriptural focus, as we've already insinuated, there are only, letter A, there are only two choices. There's only two choices. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 20, verse number 21 also. And here's what Jesus said. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And here's the reason why this decision is so vitally important. And here's what motivates the decision. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your heart's going to be, you see. We may invest. We may invest in temporal things, but you need to understand, according to what Jesus said, that's sort of a foolish thing for two reasons. First of all, because of the danger of loss. There's the danger of loss. We can lose it. If all of our investments are in the temporal, material things of this world, we can lose our investment to decay. We can lose our investment to thieves who break through and steal. And not only, though, is there the danger of loss, there is also the lack of satisfaction. There is the lack of satisfaction. Listen to what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver. In other words, here's a guy that loves money, okay? I mean, he lives for money. His whole life is about getting more money. That's his focus. That's his drive. He is one of those people the Apostle Paul described as those who will to be rich. That's their drive. That's their purpose. Now notice what it says. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It's vanity. That's why one of the richest men that ever lived some years ago, Mr. Rockefeller, made that infamous statement. And some of you already know what it is, right? Made that infamous statement. They asked him in an interview. They said, Mr. Rockefeller, you're the richest man in the world. At what point do you say it's enough? And his answer was, just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. You know why? Because silver never satisfies. And it always leaves a longing for more. But there's never enough. I always need just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So we can invest in eternal things or in temporal things. But the sad fact is there's the danger of loss and there's the fact that it never satisfies. Or we can make the other decision that we're going to invest in eternal things. And that's a wise choice. And the reason why it's wise is because of two things. First of all, the guarantee. That which is invested in God's work, God protects it. That's better than the DBS bank. Right? I mean, with God's... God protects it. That's the guarantee. And then there's also the reward. There's the reward. And the reward is simply this. What we invest in eternal things produces eternal dividends. Not just for a few years, but it's eternal dividends. God gives on that which is invested in His work. I also notice that by the one you choose, by the way we decide to go, whether we're going to invest in temporal things, whether we're going to invest in eternal things, you need to also understand here that the one we choose, and in the way that we choose, letter B, there is a revelation of your heart. There's a revelation of your heart. Many believers talk about how much they love the Lord and how much they love the work of the Lord. But when you look at the priorities they have in their life, and when you look at the value system that is in their life, and when you see how they operate in their life, you begin to really see that far too many times those who talk about how much they love the Lord are really madly in love with the world. Now, they would never admit that, but it's very obvious by the value system that they have in place. By the value system they have in place. And so we need to have a scriptural focus on things so that we do not make the wrong decisions in how we use and how we invest those things that God has entrusted to us. Our focus must be able to go beyond the temporal pleasures of today. And it needs to be on that which is eternal. And the way we build that scriptural focus is by getting into the Word of God and allowing the Scriptures to set and to establish our priorities instead of allowing the world to dictate the priorities in our life. And so with that thought in mind, I want you to notice a second thing, and that is this. Safety fence. Safety fence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the wise man gave some good instruction when he said this. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now the reason why that's so important is because Jeremiah the prophet tells us that our heart, all of us, our hearts, except for mine of course, no, me included, all of us, our hearts are what? They're deceitful. And they are desperately wicked. A man who follows his own heart is a man who's headed for trouble. He's headed for trouble. And so Solomon says, you need to keep your heart. That simply means guard it. You need to keep your heart with all diligence, because here's why. Out of it, that means out of your heart, come the issues of your life. It all comes out of the heart, you see. And so even as believers in Christ, we need to understand it is possible for us to lose our scriptural focus concerning the things that God has entrusted to us as His stewards. And we therefore we need to really keep, to really guard our hearts. And in order to maintain the proper perspective concerning our stewardship, we need to build a safety fence. We need to build a safety fence around our heart. We need to build a fence that is made up of four walls so that it totally surrounds our heart and protects us from the influences of this wicked world in which we live. And so let's notice the first wall, letter A. The first wall is the fear of God. That's wall number one. It's the fear of God. You remember in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Right? That's what he said. Now, from the human point of view, from the worldly point of view, we would say, you know what? That is wise money management. Man, this guy's he's a financial wizard. That's wise money management. And not only that, it's just good business sense. And not only that, this is what we might call aggressive investing for a higher return in the future. I mean, boy, they could write books about this. And probably they have. But this, in the eyes of the world, this guy is a financial whiz. He's a financial whiz. But how did heaven view all of this? What was God's view? Which ultimately, that's the most important view, right? Hello? Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure you were still there. That is the most important view. And listen to what God said about this. God said, Luke 12, verse 20, God said unto him, "You're a fool." Now the world said he's wise. The world said he's a wizard. The world said this is really good business. God said, "You're a fool." God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Not rich toward God. You see, this man only thought of himself, had no thought about using the blessings that God had given to him, had no thought about using those blessings to minister to the needs of others. Never come across his mind to take the blessings God had given to him and then invest those blessings in the work of God. All he could think about was, "I'm going to build some bigger barns and I'm going to have more stuff and I'm going to just sit back. I'm going to retire early and I'm going to sit back and enjoy my life while the world goes to hell." God said, "You're a fool." God said, "You're a fool." This man, even though he had great material riches, spiritually speaking, he was a pauper. He was a pauper. We need to realize that in our lives, that our lives are in God's hands, and any investment that we're going to make in God's work needs to be done while we still have the life. We need to have, here's the bottom line, we need to have a fear of God when it comes to dealing with these matters. Second wall, contentment of God. The contentment with God, rather. Contentment with God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then he goes on. He shows how that God feeds the birds, right? And we're better than birds. We're better than birds. And God also clothes the flowers with great beauty and splendor. But we are better than flowers. Jesus made all of that very clear. And so now what should our response be to the provision that God has given to us? 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That means satisfied. Satisfied. The reason this is so important is because when we fail to be content with the things God has given to us, the result is covetousness. The result is the desire to have for ourselves that which belongs to somebody else. And you need to understand that's a very serious thing, because in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that covetousness equal idolatry. Covetousness is equal to idolatry. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, and instead of being covetous over what our neighbor has, we need to build a wall of contentment and be content with what God has given, and be constantly giving thanks and showing gratitude to our God for that which He has given to us to use for His glory. Third wall, seeking after God. Seeking after God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In these two verses, I want you to know, or in these verses, there's two things I want you to notice. Number one, we are to seek His kingdom. In other words, we're to seek His salvation. Remember in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we're to seek His kingdom. We're to seek to be born again, that we might become a child of God. And then after we seek His kingdom and we become a child of God, then we are to seek His righteousness, which simply means our greatest desire is to be like Christ. To be like Christ. And when we do those things, then we have the promise. If you read Matthew 6:33 in its context, all of these things will be added to you. It's referring to all the necessities of life. Doesn't mean God's going to give you everything you want, but He will give you everything you need. He'll give you everything you need. In fact, Philippians 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul gives that when a person has the right priorities in their life, here's the promise, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Fourth wall, the expectation of Christ. The expectation of Christ. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 37, Jesus said, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants. Blessed are those stewards. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find so watching. Blessed are those. Jesus may come at any moment. We say we believe that. With our mouth, we say, yeah, I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ can come at any minute. But I wonder, do you believe it enough that it affects the way you live? Do you believe it enough that it changes some of your attitudes? Do you believe it enough that it really has an impact? in the choices, the decisions that you make every day in your life? I mean, do we really believe, deep down, do we really believe that Jesus Christ could come any minute? I mean, before this service is ended. We might all be in heaven. We might all be there, you see. He could come at any moment. If we have that kind of confidence, the impact on our life is going to be huge. In fact, the Apostle John explained it this way. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope in him, that is, every man who has the blessed hope that Jesus Christ is coming again, and it may be at any moment, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even as he is pure, you see. In order to have a proper perspective on stewardship, we need to have, number one, we have to have a scriptural focus. Number two, we need to have a heart that is surrounded. It's fenced in on all sides, and it provides safety for us so we don't get caught up in the thinking of this world. There needs to be on side one, the fear of God. Side two, the contentment with God. Side three, the seeking after God. And side number four, the expectation of Jesus Christ as we look for His coming again. My prayer is that all of these things will be a reality in each one of our lives, that we might be the stewards that we ought to be, and that we might hear Him say, "Well done. Well done." Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. Take these